Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm almost laughing because of the Iowa Democrat caucuses yesterday, and we're going to talk about that. I'm laughing because it's such a mess. Joining me to discuss this is Walker. I can't help but laughing also.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun hour.
You're about to laugh too.
It's going to be a fun
hour.
This
is a serious news program, Walker.
Yeah.
And analysis.
I'll straighten up. Sorry about that.
So we need to don't laugh at this.
Good to be on the show.
Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Yeah, as you like to put it, Tim, we're going to be talking about that there app.
All right. We're going to get to that momentarily. First of all, Super Bowl champion city resident Ray Pritchard's on the phone with us.
Yeah.
How you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, we're good. We're here in Kansas City. We don't even know what Iowa is. I mean, it's
all the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And
with the greatest quarterback of all time,
well,
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. he may be, but let's wait to crown him yet.
Let me ask you this, Tim. At the end of the third quarter, did you think the Chiefs had a chance?
Yes, I did, because I've watched Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
just unbelievable.
You better be 30 points ahead in the quarter of the Chiefs, or they've still got a chance. Now, when is the parade?
The parade is tomorrow. And, you know, this place is – it's just been continual party, fireworks Sunday night. I mean, it sounded like, you know, the invasion of Normandy with fireworks going off on all four sides around us, people in the streets and yelling and honking and so on. Yeah. And which is, you know, it's just unbelievable what's happened. So right now today, it's sleeting, and we've got ice coming in tonight, and we've got snow coming in tomorrow morning, and it doesn't matter. The public schools have dismissed in Kansas City for tomorrow. So rain, snow, sleet, forget it. We're going to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow, matter the weather.
You sent me what I thought at first was a fake news, a story the other night. That is, post Super Bowl win, the fireworks were so.
I know.
How do you sent me a Weather Channel radar.
Right. And this was not a made up deal. The National Weather Service has these very sensitive radars because they can pick up the lightning and so on. And so the National Weather Service here in Kansas City put out one of those time lapse radar things, and it just shows the Kansas City area, very quiet. Then all of a sudden, you see these lights going off, popping up on the radar screen for about an hour after the Super Bowl victory. It was the fireworks, so many of them going off so many places, it showed up on the National Weather Service radar. I didn't know they could do that.
Me either. When you sent me that, I thought, this can't be true. But actually, you got a radar, which is, you know, to pick up weather, and it's picking up all these fireworks going off all over, you know, right in the middle of the U.S., all these fireworks going on in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas. Now, the president got in trouble because he only well-wished the people of Kansas.
Of Kansas,
of
that's
course,
right.
Kansas City is split, right?
We grudgingly recognize that there is a part of Kansas City that's on the Missouri side, right?
Okay.
And actually, about 75% of Kansas City is on the Missouri side, including the sports teams.
Right.
So, really,
technically
Missouri.
All right. Okay, so a lot to talk about today. Fred, what did or didn't happen in Iowa last night?
Well, we can all go home in 5 seconds. That there app didn't work.
like everybody else, I had to go to bed.
I stayed up and to try to get results, and 10 o'clock rolled around, and there was 0% reporting.
I was up till 11, and I kept looking. It was 0-0-0 for everybody.
Exactly. I was on Fox News. I kept waiting for some numbers to show up because they had been meeting since 6 o'clock.
We're talking about the Democrat caucus, folks, in Iowa, which was the big political story yesterday, to find out who's going to be the front runner there in the Democrat Party.
But in order for it be a big story, you kind of have to have results, and they didn't get it.
Well, here's basically
what happened. There was they acquired the services of a new app, and they were going to use this app to consolidate results. You know, each precinct was going to get a copy of this app, and then they were going to consolidate all that computer-wise, put it into a big bank of computers, and spit out the results. Not only was it going to show who the leader was, but kind of divide out the who got what, how many delegates, and all that stuff. Well, things began to unravel fairly quickly. Number one, one of the things that happened was the Iowa Democratic Party, in control of this app, refused to give the head of each precinct, okay, there are precincts all over the state,
99,
refused to give the head of each precinct the app to test before last night. In other words, why not give it to them like last Friday, to test it out? They didn't do that. They said, no, there might be some violations or people might get in and play with it. So we're only going to give you the app a few hours before people start voting. So these precinct leaders start dialing into this app and they start getting all kinds of error messages. And this is what happened all over the state last night. They could not put things together using this app at all. So then then precinct leaders started calling in results. But they couldn't get through to the headquarters, and they were put on hold, or people hung up on them. So here we are. We're now Tuesday morning, the day after. Now, apparently there's going to be a conference call in about an hour with all the precinct leaders.
That's assuming the phones work.
Assuming the phones work. So this is what happened. Now, so you don't have any results, all right? So none of the candidates, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, all the others, they don't have results. But that didn't stop some of them from declaring victory. Let's hear a few.
No, this is good.
This is going to be Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Mayor.
We have no results.
We have no results. However, it's a great night for us.
This sounds like no evidence, no crime, but we got impeachment.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Cut number three.
We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates.
I have a good feeling we're going to be doing very, very well here in Iowa.
Tonight, an improbable hope became an undeniable reality.
That was Buttigieg.
Oh, Ray.
He actually thinks he won.
Ray, what do you think of Buttigieg? He
You know, I don't blame him. Yeah. I don't blame him. Declare victory and move on.
Well, you know, he already had that speech written, and it was so good. He was going to give it whether they had results or not. Let's hear. I got to hear that montage again. This is that. Especially is it Mayor Pete there at the end? There,
right at the end. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates.
I have a good feeling we're going to be doing very, very well here in Iowa
tonight. An improbable hope became an undeniable reality.
Oh, wow. An improbable hope became an undeniable reality. You know what? He spent 3 hours that line, and he was not going to waste it a malfunctioning app.
Nope.
The only reality is nobody knows, right?
I don't know how. I don't even know if the Democrat Party in Iowa even has any results. Like, verifiable data.
They don't.
Well, this is how socialism
but
works.
But I don't know how you piece the puzzle together. If you're 16 hours past polls closing, and they don't have anything, they don't even have one precinct out of 1,600 to say, here's who won at this precinct.
No, and a lot of the Democrats aren't trusting like paper ballots because they think somebody's going to cheat.
This could have been done faster had they filled out paper ballots and driven them across the state to the Democrat headquarters.
That's right. That's right.
Ain't going to work. So what are they going to do?
Well, here's what's interesting. Well, we don't know. There's this conference call the Democrat Party's going to have with all these precinct leaders. But this is Senator Ted Cruz, who you will remember going back to 2016. I think he won Iowa, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Beat Trump in Iowa. Yes. So he was on Fox and Friends this morning. It's going to be cut number two, Brent, talking about, we laugh at this, but it's kind of serious business because you can get some momentum and some idea of where the party is headed out of Iowa. So he says this is a huge debacle. Cut number two.
And it's particularly frustrating for the surging and the insurgent candidates. You know, a Joe Biden is perfectly fine with this outcome because the headline in all likelihood this morning would have been something like Bernie Sanders wins Iowa. That has a big impact. The reason you invest in Iowa, Iowa rarely wins the race, but it typically calls the field. For a number of people, Iowa can lose the race. So, for example, when we get results, if Bernie has a big win and Warren is third or fourth, that's a huge problem. That's potentially fatal for Warren's campaign because Bernie's likely to win New Hampshire. And there's going to be, as these things go forward, one far left candidate. Bernie and Elizabeth are in a death match over there.
Yeah, so that's Senator Ted Cruz this morning saying that Iowa results, although they don't determine the end result, have something to do with momentum going forward from here.
But we don't have results, and it doesn't appear like we're going to have them. Somebody's going to have to just call this thing off, right? This is a dumpster fire. Let's just call it what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrat Party is in complete and utter disarray. Right? They have no leader. They have no leader.
Right. That was true before yesterday. It's just more true now.
Yeah, but they can't.
Right.
It's a what do you call it? A metaphor for their for the state of affairs is what happened yesterday. Maybe that's a metaphor. I'm not looking. It's a picture of the state of affairs that their app didn't work and they can't count votes in Iowa.
So the next thing is New Hampshire, right? So how long until the New Hampshire primary?
Next week from today.
Oh man!
And that's a primary.
And they're set. I saw an article today where Nevada is going to use the same software as Iowa.
I bet they won't now.
Well, there's another interesting story. You mentioned this. You know who developed this software?
Hillary allies.
The company is called Shadow.
Yeah.
It's even better.
And they worked for her campaign. They were two tech guys on her
two
campaign.
Two tech guys who worked for her campaign.
Oh, no.
So the woman who kept a server in her bathroom.
Right.
Has a couple of guys working for her that now develops
software.
Are y'all
thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes.
Here's what I'm thinking.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that Bernie Sanders was going to blow everybody else out of the water last night.
Yep.
And so, we got a little coding issue so that Bernie can't do the victory lap.
I'm buying into the conspiracy.
On Tuesday morning.
Right?
I'm
all in on that.
Okay.
I think that's probably what happened.
Coding issue.
We can't let Bernie Sanders win the Democrat primary, so how do we do that? We keep him from getting a lead in Iowa, and so we got to...
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Now, should we really believe this? Come on.
Well, what's unbelievable is that they didn't have a backup paper system where they could have at least had results the next morning.
If
you're Bernie Sanders, I'm believing it. I'm believing I'm getting... done wrong here.
You're getting hosed.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway.
And the.
I stand with Bernie.
And the Des Moines.
Yes.
Remember
we stand with Bernie.
We stand with Bernie.
Remember 2 days ago, the Des Moines Register.
Against the Clintons.
Had to just call off after 70 years.
Yes.
Right.
Of
right.
releasing that poll the day before the caucuses. They had an oops on the polling.
Yes.
Oops.
Mm. Oops.
So we can't release after 79 years of doing it right, we have an oops.
That was going to show Bernie ahead and Biden down in what, fourth place? Something unbelievable like that, maybe?
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to say what we're all thinking here, okay? And we've alluded to it, okay? This has all the earmarkings of the Clinton machine.
Yeah, it does.
The fact that the Des Moines Register won't release their poll findings?
Yeah.
A day, huh?
And remember, yeah. Des Moines Register 10 days ago endorsed Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, that's yeah. right. That's
remember
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah, but they wouldn't release their poll results.
They won't release their poll results. And then the app that's meant to do their work for their caucuses, which are designed by friends of Clinton.
Yes.
That's documented, right, Fred?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's on the front
all
of Fox
a sudden
News right
doesn't
now.
Work. Huh?
Yeah.
And who would be the natural target of this, of these actions, or would be
Bernie
to prevent
Sanders.
Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
Who is a
right.
Hillary Clinton is a sworn enemy of Bernie Sanders.
Oh, she got no use for him at all.
Yeah.
Right. So, look, whether this rises to Bigfoot level, I don't know. You know, laugh if you want to, but I've seen Bigfoot pictures enough to know. Okay, I'm just saying, this is like Jeffrey Epstein committing suicide. Everybody goes, how in the world is that possible?
Right, right.
So we'll see what they do to rectify this situation. Now, the good thing is, our president, President Trump, he does not kick people when they're down. And he does not kick Democrats when they're down. And,
no.
And so I'm sure he had nothing to say about the fiasco that was the Iowa caucuses. The president probably just ignored it, didn't he, Fred?
Not quite. Not quite.
Okay. What did the president say? Did he say, I'm sorry this happened?
The Twitter,
couldn't have happened to a better bunch of people?
The Twitter fingers were busy.
Okay.
All right. Here's what he tweeted out. The Democrat caucus is an unmitigated disaster. Nothing works, just like they ran the country. The only person that can claim a very big victory in Iowa last night is Trump. End quote.
I knew that was coming. Oh, me. All right.
You cited the Obamacare website in that tweet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that didn't work?
Yeah, they spent $5 billion with a B.
Yes.
To build out a web page, a URL.
I remember yes. that.
And yes. it broke on day one.
That's right.
People couldn't enroll.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
What a mess.
This is, if you're, who's the chairman of the National Democrat Party?
Tom Perez.
Tom Perez.
Tom Perez is probably hiding under his desk.
Yeah.
Right now. He,
this is embarrassing.
Don't make me come out because this is awful. Mm-hmm. Awful. Everything that's happening to them from impeachment.
Oh, and there's more bad news just broke in the last few minutes. You know, the Democrats are holding their big convention in Milwaukee.
The national convention this summer, yeah, mm-hmm. where they'll select their.
Headline from the Associated Press just a few minutes ago. Democratic convention host committee leaders put on leave. The chief organizers of the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee, the two leaders of Milwaukee's host committee for the 2020 Democratic National Convention have been placed on leave pending an investigation into allegations that they oversaw a toxic work environment, a letter sent to staff. So they've had to put on
I believe her.
The people.
Whoever she is, whatever she said, she has to be believed.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh?
A toxic work environment.
Is that serious? You're not.
This is an AP story.
Oh, wow. So more good news for the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Let me just say this, too. And if I were giving advice to the Democrats, which I wouldn't do because it's just. It's too fun to watch what's going on here, but as a conservative. But I would say this, right, and Walker and Fred, seriously, they are a ship without a captain, mm-hmm. all right? And they're either about to hit an iceberg or they've hit one already. Mm-hmm. They don't have a leader. And I would say this. It's time for Barack Obama. Again, I'm speaking if I were a Democrat strategist. it's time for Barack Obama to take the reins here. And I know he can't run for president again, but I'm saying he has thus far stayed out of this. And unless he gets involved, this is my own personal opinion, he's very popular with the American people, Barack Obama, and certainly with the Democrat Party. He needs to, if he can, handpick somebody here, endorse them, get behind them, and, again, I don't know who he picks, Klobuchar. Is that her correct name?
Yes.
The senator.
Wouldn't he have to pick Biden? I mean,
no. Well, yes, I agree with you. He it would be very disappointing to Biden, and to say the least. But you can't look at that right now. There's a reason why he hadn't endorsed Biden.
Right.
We all know why.
Right.
Because Biden, bless his heart, is not going to be able to hold up.
Who would he pick then?
I would pick Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota. I would pick her because she's in the top five, and she's considered a moderate in the Democrat Party, and she comes from a swing state, Minnesota. And you could appeal to the first woman president idea. And I think she's safe with the establishment of the Democrat Party. Now, I know it would, it would cause a rift between Obama and the others, and the Democratic establishment and the others. But Obama is the bridge between the far left and the establishment of the Democrat Party. Again, I wouldn't give them advice because I don't want them to win.
Can you imagine the explosion, Tim? The explosion.
Yes.
Well, if he did what you just suggested.
Well, it's either that or the ship sinks.
Yeah.
Well.
So it's no good choices, and you're right. It would be an explosion, but at the same time, I think President Obama has enough capital built up inside the Democrat Party where he could use the weight of his presence and to say, no, listen to me, people. We need to get behind Senator Klobuchar to have a chance to beat President Trump.
Do you think, though, that Barack Obama, using the scenario you just pointed, could actually control AOC?
No. No, but who can?
Yeah, but that's right. The problem. They're all in. The squad is all in for Bernie Sanders. And they're not going to let anybody stop them. Unlike 2016, Bernie's people went silent.
Yeah,
this time around, they're not going to go silent.
All I'm saying is, I understand precisely what you're saying, and it would put Obama in the crossfires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, looking out over the Democrat Party landscape, I could see only one person who could unify the party to be able to give them a chance to beat President Trump. And that person is Barack Obama, and he's going to have to get directly involved. And I'm talking about pick somebody. I'm not talking about Ray.
Wouldn't he have to do that this week? Because let me throw out a scenario and get you guys a quick answer here. Let's suppose we just end up with a muddled mess coming out of Iowa. I can't see this thing getting any better, no matter what the Democrats say. So Bernie is going to win in New Hampshire, right?
Yes.
He's going to win. What happens then if Bernie wins? Does he become the front runner? What happens to Joe? Does Obama step in then after New Hampshire?
Well, President Obama may not step in. He may not want to in the end. He he's enjoying a pretty good life right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves him. He's got a house on the beach that's going to be underwater in 10 years, but that's neither here nor there. He travels the world on yachts with George Clooney, And he's got a good life. Whether he wants to get in the middle of this mess when it seems like a sinking ship, I don't know. I'm just offering up the only real possibility I see of saving the Democrats' chances for November.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in a minute with more. Sandy Rios will join us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here from American Family Association and American Family Radio, where I serve as president. Hey, one of the special places we go on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C. is Arlington National Cemetery. Everyone on our tour gets so excited about that day when we visit the cemetery because of the patriotism that we all have and the love for our country and the appreciation for the men and women who've given their lives for our nation, for our freedoms, for our liberty, for our way of life. We're going to be visiting Arlington National Cemetery on the Friday of our spiritual heritage tours in Washington, D.C. in June and September, and we'll be seeing and experiencing the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you want the information on these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. A 19-year-old teenager was convicted of a transphobic hate crime and ordered to pay a fine after he questioned the gender of a transgender police officer in the United Kingdom. The police officer is a bearded woman who identifies as a man. She took great offense when the suspect shouted, "Is it a boy or is it a girl?" The Daily Mail reports Declan Armstrong was sentenced to a curfew, had to pay a fine. Government leaders said they take any hate crime allegation seriously, and anyone who misgenders a transgender person will face prosecution. Now, I think we can all agree that what the teenager did was rude and boorish, and no doubt it was offensive to the transgender police officer. But did it really rise to the level of a hate crime? I say no. The UK is moving down a very dangerous path, silencing free speech to appease the LGBT movement. You can read more about this story at toddstarnes.com.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Earthly beauty is fleeting, often left to the eye of the beholder. But the beauty of holiness lasts for time and eternity and has a peculiar way of drawing everyone's eye. Choose Christ's beauty for your own by being in Him, learning of Him, and following after Him with an obedience of love. Such beauty doesn't fade with age, but instead becomes only richer and deeper. Puritan Thomas Watson said, quoting, "But a righteous person has a celestial beauty shining in him. He is embellished with knowledge, love, and meekness, which are of such oriental splendor as to allure the very angels. A saint's beauty never withers, it outlives death. True grace is like colors laid in oil, which cannot be washed off," unquote. What would happen if we took the time wasted on vanity and used it to pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord? This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program here on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. Hey, tell folks, Walker, how they can follow us on the internet.
Yes, you can check out our website, afr.net, afr.net. We're also on Facebook and YouTube, either of those. Just type in the name of the show, Today's Issues, on Facebook or YouTube. And our app is working. Our AFR app is working. Just go to the App Store and type in AFR, and you can listen to the show.
Let me tell you something. This conspiracy to beat Bernie Sanders is going to get... It's going to get more attention today and tomorrow. So we're not the only ones. I said it out loud, but we're not the only ones thinking that. Mm. Sandy Rios joins us from Sandy Rios country. Good morning, Sandy.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
All right. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. All things considered.
Okay. So, Sandy, we got about 5 minutes with you today. The four of us here, led by Black Helicopter Tim, thinks that the Democrat Party establishment is out to stop Bernie Sanders at all costs. And so the Des Moines Register doesn't release their poll results like they always do because it shows Sanders way ahead. This is me projecting here. This is me saying what I think happened, not necessarily what happened. Last night, the app doesn't work that the Clinton associates created. Because Bernie was going to win Iowa. What do you think about that? Are we in Loch Ness Monster country there?
Sandy, well, I would say the stars are aligning to undergird that theory. When you think about it, you know, Hillary Clinton actually stole that nomination in 2016 from Bernie Sanders. There's just no question about it. It's been verified.
They can't stand each other either.
Donna Brazile admitted that in a book. So we know that. He came in with like one-tenth of a point of beating her in Iowa. So I don't think it's just rivalry, though. I think there's a mixed bag here. I think that they think Bernie is so openly far left. Hillary is just as far left as Bernie Sanders, trust me. And so are, I would say, 99% of the other candidates in their positions. But Bernie's just an outright socialist communist, and he's always has been. So he's pretty blunt about what he plans to do, and that's sort of, you know, destroy big business. He calls it the wealthy. You know, they're going to be destroyed, but of course the rest of us are going to be destroyed with it, because in the Soviet model, the communist model, the only people that prevail are the party people. And so, and speaking of parties, remember that Bernie Sanders' wife had their honeymoon, their party, in Moscow. When, trust me, I was in Moscow in 1990. It was not a pretty place. Bernie Sanders and his wife somehow got in before the rest of us could even, it was closed off by the Iron Curtain. They got there and did their honeymoon. So his you know, romance with the Soviet bloc and with dictators in Central America are a proof enough of his positions. But he's very out about it. And so I think they want to destroy him at all costs.
But
I think
don't you find it suspicious, these things that have happened?
Well, yes. And okay. I'll get to that. I guess I should land the plane. Yeah, I think the Iowa poll, as described by Liz Schell this morning on my show, she's a pollster herself, and she's very familiar with that that Des Moines, Iowa poll, which is very credible. And the pollster is a very credible person who partnered with CNN this time, and suddenly her poll was withdrawn, the one that is the gold standard that's usually released right before Iowans go to the caucuses to vote. So they didn't do that. Then suddenly last night, the app, as you just described, which was created by two former Hillary campaign people, suddenly did not work. And I read also that the early indications and polls and measurements of like that first vote at the caucus showed that Sanders was way ahead and that Joe Biden didn't even get 15%. So so what happened was last night when they just didn't release any results, Joe Biden and Amy Klobuchar and others go to the mic and sort of declare victory. Oh, not saying they won, but oh, this is great. We did great. We're on to, you know, to the New Hampshire primaries. It's a ploy. I think it's very definitely a ploy. I think it's a twofer because Democrats don't like the Iowa caucuses. It is a place where the people actually get to see the candidates up close and personally and vet them for the rest of the country in a very close-up manner. And they are very honest in Iowa. They vet people, mm-hmm. and they sort of clean it out before they go to these huge, humongous primaries where they're more anonymous. So the left doesn't like that, and I think they want to get rid of the Iowa caucuses. So this is really kind of a twofer. They're going to hurt Bernie Sanders, help Joe Biden, and get rid of the Iowa caucuses.
So, Sandy, what happens a week from now? I mean, we've got this muddled mess. Hard to imagine anybody's going to have a lot of confidence in anything the Democrat leaders say later today. Who's going to really believe whatever results they release? And it looks like Bernie is going to win going away in New Hampshire. So what does the Democrat establishment do if Sanders wins big in New Hampshire, as looks increasingly likely?
you know, Ray, they are so creative. You know, it's like I ask myself the same thing when they vote tomorrow for impeachment. What? I don't, you know? They're pulling their hair out. You know, their pencils are getting dull on the end, and, you know, they have frazzled things coming out of their hair, trying to figure out what they can do next. I do think they're running out of options. Now, with Bernie Sanders, I don't know what other things they'll do. But they're not going to, trust me, we know that they don't stop. Isn't it interesting to see the left fighting the left? Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think I'm not sure what they'll do. I really don't know, Ray, but I'm sure they'll come up with something. That doesn't mean they'll be successful because they haven't been successful in impeaching the president, you know, in voting to impeach him.
Sandy, thanks for joining us. I know you got other obligations you have to get to. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys let me know if you figure out the answer.
Okay.
Okay, talk to you soon.
That's Sandy Rios joining us from Sandy Rios in the Morning. Walker, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think it's interesting. I'm not really sure we'll get a clear answer as to what happened last night, the technical ins and outs behind it. But no doubt that there is a war inside the Democrat Party between the Bernie crowd and the more establishment types like Joe Biden. So we'll see if this hurts momentum moving into New Hampshire, Nevada, and then South Carolina.
Bernie is a ticking time bomb for the Democrats.
Yeah, he is.
Unlike 2016, he is not going to be silenced.
Mm-hmm. No, they made a mistake by letting him in the primaries. He's an independent, you know. Of course, the Republicans had to face this very decision themselves to whether or not to allow Donald Trump, mm-hmm. who was not a Republican.
That's right.
Or at least not a...
Traditionally, he wasn't, but he did end up registering as one.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So he was a registered Republican, but I'm just saying he wasn't always a Republican.
Correct.
And with the case of Bernie Sanders, he's an independent. He's an independent. President Trump has said of Bernie Sanders, at least the guy doesn't try to hide who he is.
Yeah.
The other Democrats, Sandy said, many of them are just as far left as Bernie Sanders in their ideology and their politics mm-hmm. and their thinking, but they hide it well. Mm-hmm. And they know that you can't be so out front with it as Bernie Sanders is, or you won't get elected.
That's right.
And I think, Ray, I think the biggest fear for the Democrat Party machine, that is the establishment, there is a civil war going on.
Yeah,
but I think Bernie Sanders is a ticking time bomb, as Fred said, Ray. But I think what they're most concerned about maybe is not necessarily even losing to President Trump in November. That's almost a foregone conclusion
right.
now. Who would have thought it? A year ago, I thought President Trump may get beat by Joe Biden, but I don't think that anymore. But now what they're worried about probably right now is the down ticket.
Yeah,
they're worried about
losing the House, right?
If you have Bernie Sanders on there, and avowed communist / socialist,
they're going to lose House seats from coast to coast.
They're going to lose yes, and so if you lose that, if you're the Democrats and all you have is the House, which is a big deal because it means you have chairmanships over all the committees. We've seen that with Adam Schiff and. Mm-hmm. And others here, their names have become prominent because they're chairmen of committees that Nancy Pelosi appoints. You don't have that any longer. You're in the minority in the House. You're in the minority in the Senate. You can't stop Trump's judge appointments, which is a big, big deal. And President Trump wins again. It may be a very dark season, Ray, for the Democrats, I'm not going to say that it'd be the death of their party necessarily,
right.
but at least for the next 2 to 4 years, it'd be a dark time in their party's history.
Well, this comes back, Tim, to the point you raised earlier. What about President Obama? He has stayed on the sidelines. I mean, if he's going to get in, and you said for Klobuchar,
yeah.
fine, but wouldn't he need to do that this week
yes.
before New Hampshire?
I agree. No, I agree with myself on that. I agree with you asking me about whether he should pick now because it's going to be too late after Bernie,
right.
the Bernie train gets rolling.
Yeah.
It's going to be too late, and there's going to be even more animosity.
Yeah. I'm just now seeing this, but apparently early this morning, the Bernie Sanders campaign released their internal numbers from the precincts. Like, for example, a Biden representative at each precinct was reporting what they were seeing and the results they were taking in. And their internal results, and this is not final, this is not official, but their internal results just from last night had Bernie obviously at top, on top, Pete Buttigieg at number two, Elizabeth Warren number three, and Joe Biden in fourth place. From this is 40% of the precincts reporting.
Yeah.
So if that's true in what the Democrat Party in Iowa's looking at, then yeah, Bernie Sanders probably would have won Iowa last night.
Yep. Very interesting.
By the way, is the State of the Union going to go on tonight?
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yeah.
It is. And it's going to be, normally a lot of Americans don't watch State of the Union, but I think it's at least interesting to tune in tonight to watch the expression on House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's face, who will be sitting right behind the president. Now, remember last year.
You can't make this stuff up.
Last year, she was celebrating the fact that Democrats now control the House. And she gave that, that reaching out, that little reach out hand clap thing? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And a bunch of Democrat women were wearing white. It was.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
All orchestrated. But it's going to be very interesting tonight. Now, Stephanie Grisham, who is White House spokesperson, was on Fox and Friends this morning to kind of give a little bit of a preview of what we might expect the president to say tonight. Cut number one.
People want to hear what the president has done for this country and what he's planning to do for this country. So it will be very forward-facing. It will be very optimistic. The president's not focused on impeachment either. He wants to tell the American people what he's going to do going forward for them. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to honor some really incredible guests that we're really excited about, I think, that go along with his policies, but also are a good picture of this country and how it's being impacted by this president.
Who was that?
That was Stephanie Grisham, a White House spokesperson.
You know what? That's must-see TV tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to watch my alma mater play Kentucky in basketball, Mississippi State, big game, but I'm going to probably tape that one. I got to watch Trump live before with Nancy Pelosi right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You know, President Trump, the way he thinks, right now he's going, I wonder if I should put a dig in there about the Iowa caucuses.
Yeah.
He's asking.
Yes, the answer is yes. I hope he does.
He's asking somebody about that right now. And somebody in the White House is going, no, sir, I think you just need to stick with the economy and be positive and don't say anything about that. But then in Trump's mind, he's saying, I got to say something. It's just
say something.
Because Nancy Pelosi's just going to be able to sit there and have shot to take it.
Yeah, you can't be treated like President Trump has been treated by the Democrats and not say anything negative
about
the Democrats.
It's not in his nature. He's going to fire. He's going to say, huh?
So it is worth watching for that reason tonight, for sure.
What would you say, Fred? You're in the White House. You're advising President Trump. Not that he seeks too much advising when it comes to tweeting or speaking out. But he says to you, what do you think, Fred? Think I need to say something about the Iowa Democrat caucus and the app not working? Can we put a couple one-liners in there about that in my speech tonight? What do you think, Fred?
If I was there?
Yeah, you're advising him. What would you say?
I'd say, I liked your tweet this morning there, Mr. President, about what happened in Iowa. You might want to throw that in tonight because the people have come to expect that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They honestly, I think, are disappointed. I'm talking about conservatives.
Mm-hmm.
They're disappointed when he delivers the sanitized portions,
But
the
it's
stuff
the State of the Union now. It's supposed to be dignified. I'm just saying.
No, we're talking Donald Trump here.
I might not call out individual Democrat by name. I would highlight the dysfunction that the Democrats cause when they put their hands on things.
Yes.
Would you mention the word karma?
No, I would mention the word caucus.
Ray, would you mention karma? How about the karma caucus?
Look, he's the final vote on impeachment is is tomorrow, right?
Yeah,
correct.
So that's, we're still kind of hanging in the balance on that. I think if he says anything about the caucuses, it'll be for him a gentle jab, right? A little quick one-liner. Now, bigger question: will he even allude to the impeachment stuff? I bet not.
I don't. I don't think he will. I mean, he might be tempted to say, "Good evening, little Adam Shifty," you know, or something of that nature. But
no, he won't do that.
No, I don't think he's going to do that.
He can. In the State of the Union last year, you had a lot of the same dynamics at work and the animosity between. He can deliver a speech without too much. Now, if he gets off script, which he can do. Rallies, he gets off script, you know, but that's expected, right?
Right.
You can't do that in the State of the Union, and he knows, he's smart enough to know that. He needs to deliver a presidential State of the Union. I'm just saying, if it's me, I got to throw one line in about the caucus in Iowa last night. And anyway, but Nancy Pelosi, we're going to count the IPOPs tonight.
Yeah.
What do you think? I'm going to go 22, 23 IPOPs.
Yeah.
Do you think she does a little seal clap tonight, Fred, or do you think she goes full on sticking her right hand out?
You know,
what if she doesn't do anything? Because President Trump is not worthy of even a handshake, right?
That's right. That's right. So I don't know. I think Nancy should sit in her chair and be somewhat stoic looking, but I'm not sure. Don't go to sleep.
Right.
But you know, it's interesting. Ray just mentioned about the final vote on impeachment is tomorrow. Given what I heard yesterday, for instance, Democrat Senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, you know, he got up in the Senate because right now we're at this point where the senators are allowed to get up for about 10 minutes and give their final assessment before the vote tomorrow. Joe Manchin, who is in a state, what the president won West Virginia by 40-some percent points, at least 47, I think it was. Here's what when Joe Manchin got up yesterday, Democrat senator from West Virginia, he had an alternative to impeachment. This is what he had to say. Cut number 9.
Censure would allow this body to unite across party lines and as an equal branch of government to formally denounce the president's actions and hold him accountable.
I think Joe Manchin will vote not to impeach the president. I think he's one of those Democrats. Mm-hmm. I think Doug Jones in Alabama will also vote against impeachment. And there's one more from Arizona, a senator from Arizona, who is described as a conservative. So I think that's the way it's going to go. Tim, you just brought up on the screen there something very interesting. Latest Gallup poll on President Trump, 49% rating.
Mm-hmm.
That is higher than what Barack Obama was 4 years into his administration. You know what that tells me? This impeachment has totally failed in the eyes of the American public. I think the American public.
It's backfired.
It's backfired.
Yeah.
Right, because they people see it for what it is. People may not be fans of President Trump, but they don't believe in overturning an election based on jaywalking.
Well, and here we are in an election season, and the argument at the bottom line is, if you want to have a vote on the president, let's do it in November, which is when we always do it. And I think the American people, I think the country as a country has moved on. And I think the Senate understands this. I think they'll take the vote tomorrow and then, guys, it'll be over. And we're not going to hear much more about this again. Some people have said, the Democrats will impeach him again. That's just suicide for them if they did that again. They won't do that. We're done after tomorrow.
Let me just say, the Democrats are if we get to November, Democrats could be, you know, in baseball, if you typically get 4 at-bats. And a bad day is 0 for 4.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? That's a really bad day. If you wear the goose egg, you've got the goose egg going on there. Okay. They swung and missed on Trump in 16. Democrats, I'm talking about. They swung and missed with the Mueller report, you know, the Russians Trump was in with the Russians. That was a swing and a miss. Mm-hmm. It swung and missed with impeachment. Mm-hmm. So they're 0-3. They got one more at bat against Trump, and that's coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to strike them out. So you're talking about potentially 0-4. And that's going to be very demoralizing to the Democrat Party if that happens. I got to tell you guys, this whole thing, things can change in hours in politics, right? Mm-hmm. But I will say this, Ray, Fred, Walker, and I said this on the program the last couple of years before President Trump was elected. And I just called it, as the old saying, I use another baseball metaphor, call them as you see them. I didn't see a Republican winning another presidential election before Donald Trump came along. And I don't think that, with all due respect to Senator Cruz, who I voted for, or Mark Rubio, who I like, or the others there in the Republican field, I don't think any of them would have beat Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, but the way the Electoral College map is set up, and the way the Democrats have California and New York and Illinois before they roll out of bed. Mm-hmm. They don't have to spend any money in those states.
Right.
A Republican candidate, and this remains true mm-hmm. today, President Trump will have to do this. The Democrats will win Illinois, New York and California mm-hmm. in November. It doesn't matter if Democrats put up, a monkey.
Right.
It doesn't matter. California, New York, and Illinois are going to go Democrat, monkey versus Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you have that situation, the Republicans at a great disadvantage, but President Trump has proven that a Republican can win. Now, you got to have things going for you like President Trump did. Namely, he had huge name ID because of 10 years of being on the Apprentice. Everybody knew who he was. He had a lot of money that he could spend himself, on the election mm-hmm. process. And still, he did win, but it was close in Florida. Mm-hmm. It was razor thin in Pennsylvania and Michigan. You remember that? Mm-hmm. So he pulled off a royal flush mm-hmm. that night. But this time, he may win by more.
And here's the reason why I think you're exactly right, winning by more. This time, he's got results. Mm-hmm. 2016,
right.
He had promises.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's got results.
Right.
And the big one is the economy. The big one is the economy.
Yeah. And I think national security, too, don't you think?
National security, unemployment rate.
Yeah.
You cannot argue with this. This is not, I feel it's better. This is definitely it's better.
And he's held up all the promises he made to his base.
That's right.
And a number his promises to the evangelical Christian community,
yes,
and conservative Catholics,
yes,
who voted for him for his pro-life position, for his position on judges, Walker. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to have. I mean, he's going to have Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania. He could get Michigan, Wisconsin.
Well, you're talking about an Electoral College blowout, then.
Yeah, over 300, right. 300. He could have 330, 340.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot can happen between now and November, but if you were to just say today, looking at things, President Trump is sitting really pretty looking toward November. Fred, thank you very much.
You are welcome.
Steve Jordahl on deck. I think he has an interview with Bigfoot. Because we're into conspiracy theories here today, and we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.